Father, we just want to see things your way. And we can only do that through your Holy Spirit. So we ask that your Spirit rain down this morning. Fill this place. Pray against any evil that the enemy has planned for us in this time, in this place. We pray against that. In the name of Jesus, we command them to leave. We proclaim this place as a place of freedom from fear, freedom from striving, a place of rest. And we can sit in the knowledge and the faith and the trust that we are safe and within the Lord's care. And Lord, whatever your will be for us, that's okay. So I thank you, Lord, for the peace that that brings. I ask that you help us to settle in right now, be open to your words. So thank you for those that are here this morning. We pray all of this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. This is a place of freedom. We just declared it a place of freedom. We kicked out all the other stuff, and the Holy Spirit is free to move. You're free to breathe. Deep breath and relax. I've got some fabulous scriptures this morning. All of Scripture is fabulous. I think that's a verse somewhere. It's there to help you. It's there to help me. I love the way this service starts. And Reed, thank you for your energy. And guys that come in here early this morning and we're sterilizing the building and energetic for the kids that might show up today. We had no idea. You made it. Welcome this morning. You made it. Okay? For God has not given us the spirit of what? But of and of love and a sound mind or self-discipline. It's good stuff. You made it here this morning. 2 Timothy is a great verse, one of my favorites. I've got some others this morning. Looking at John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new command I give you, and this was new then, and he says, love one another. In no uncertain terms, my friends, we just commanded the enemy to leave a few minutes ago, and we said this building will be free of foul spirits. Did you hear that prayer? I heard that prayer. And thank you, hun, for doing that, because I don't have to now. And it's awesome. And I sit back and I go, you've commanded this. And it was in the name of who? Yeah. And that's who's talking here. Love one another. I'm commanding you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then verse 35, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Okay? So in no uncertain terms, there's not just going to be a certain people population out there. Everyone will know. Everyone will know. Okay? That's key. John 13 is a key verse or a couple of verses for you this morning. We move to Mark chapter 1, and look at it in your notes or on the screen. That's fine. You all have sermon notes this morning? Okay. Yeah, feel free to add some extra things in there if another verse comes to mind. There's plenty of references that go along this topic. Mark chapter 1 says this, and this is Jesus hanging out with somebody who he should be at least 6 feet away from and lots of hand sanitizer. Okay, just letting you know this morning. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing. Be clean, he said. How's that sound this morning with the news turned off right now? He brings peace in the midst of a storm, and he brings healing. And that just is not physical, it can also be emotional. Matthew 14. So Jesus landed, saw a large crowd. He always had a large crowd. He showed compassion on them. He healed their sick. How's that sound this morning? So who are we talking to? Who are we talking about? Who are we focused on this morning? Where does peace come from this morning? Great verses. Matthew 20. Jesus had compassion on them. Touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight. What did they do after receiving sight? What did they do? They followed him. They followed him. Do we know the difference between full lives and fulfilled lives? These folks that were touched by Jesus knew fulfillment. Amen? Right? Now, whether it's physical, in this room you may have many, many physical needs this morning, okay? Or it's emotional. And God says, even spiritually, I am here and I am the complete package. I have sent you my son from the very beginning. He wants to fulfill your life. This is an encounter this morning. These scriptures and these songs that we've sung are an encounter. All of it is with the living God. For those that are willing to humble themselves and say, I need you, Lord. Anyone want to join me this morning? I need you, Lord. One more time. We need him, folks. We need him. And I don't mean just in this one square mile town. A living God available to you. I assure you that the Spirit of the Lord is here right now. Whether you feel him or not. Whether you feel oppressed or not. Whether you feel depressed or not. Whether you are coughing or whether you are 100% ready to go and run a marathon and you still came out here even though there is not one, I'm letting you know the presence of God is here. It is not contingent upon your own emotional state. Jesus says, when two or more are present, I'll show up and I'll make my presence known. Amen? He's here. God says, I want to get up in your business. The news is all up in your business. And it's important. But God says, I want to be about your business and I want to get up in it. I need your presence, Lord. And this pause that's going on, has anyone taken time to actually pause in the midst of the storm? Jesus, I give everything and everyone to you. Wait a minute, I need a second shot at that. Jesus, I give everything and everyone to you. I don't know about you, but I need more than a minute with that one. Throw a few at me, okay? Over and over again all day long. This has been a week, right? Very trying week and a lot of development, a lot of changes. Jesus, I give everything and everyone to you. I want to feel a revival of fire in this place. Is it possible? Oh my goodness. Is it? It is. It is. Oh my goodness. Well, I want to change things just a wee bit here. I had a hard time breathing just looking at all the closures and reality that all the college students are coming back to the island this week and all the things that were happening. And I lightened things up with an old friend. His name is Tim Hawkins. Pastor Tim is here today with you. And for our greeting team and to encourage you guys that actually made it to greet people at the door this morning, I give you Tim Hawkins and what it's like greeting people during these days here at our church this morning. So take a deep breath this morning.
There's a lot of hand sanitizer in church. Anybody notice that? I don't know. At my church, they have these two hand sanitizer stations right by the front door greeters. That is not a good message. People come in on Sunday. How you doing? Nice to see you all. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming. You're going to love it here. We just love people. You can just be yourself. You can just be yourself. We don't care. We don't judge you. We just love. You sit back, and whatever questions you have, you let us know. We'll let you know whatever we can do for you, okay? Y'all newly married? You got four kids? Four kids. That is amazing. God love. We love kids here. Kids are like a little gift from God is what they are. They are just wonderful little creatures that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where y'all from? Arkansas? Okay. There's some mints in the basket. Grab it.
smaller bottle. It's a smaller bottle. Anyway, thank you guys for that. And by the way, when you're struggling with something, and I'm not making light of the things that are not good, Philippians says, whatever things are good and lovely and noble and of good report, think on those things, will you? Think on those. Keep reality where it needs to be, but I've provided a lot of joy. And Tim Hawkins is a great YouTube for those of you guys looking at certain topics and would like to just bring something into it. There's a lot of good there. I want to unpack John 13, though, real quick for you. These two verses that are in there, above all else, love one another. Love them. One takes away from this verse, literally, church attendance, okay, and the depth of theological understanding will not get you there. I don't care how deep you are, how many dual masters or multiple doctorates you may acquire, all right? The answer is to love one another, not wisdom. There is an action that's involved here. And that really goes against religious spirit, by the way, in the room. John 13, 34, and 35 presents a different perspective. How to follow Jesus in a selfie-centered world, because social media is changing the way we relate to each other. And I'm very powerful this morning on this topic because I've noticed it is changing my closest friendships. It just has something going on. I love technology. I know very little about it. I hate the way technology can master me, where I'm a slave to it, so to speak, with what's needed is mostly in that world. But don't get sucked into this minefield this morning, okay? Did you know that there are 93 million selfies taken each day? 16 to 25-year-old girls or women take 5 hours of selfies a week. Sorry, looking at my daughter there. My wife and I saw a young woman this week. We were actually in line waiting for some stuff, and there was a lady who was taking a selfie with her friends. And she was right in front of us, like I'm standing right here, okay? And she's right in front of me going like this with her friends. And I said, I can take that for you if you like. Would you like for me to take that? No, I like the way that it's crooked and comes out with my friends in the background. I was like, okay, whatever. All right? It's just go figure. Pet selfies. Duck face selfies. I have great seats and you do not. Selfies. Me and my bestie. The sitting selfie. And the bathroom selfie. There's nothing inherently wrong with these. However, over time, this behavior results and settles into self-centeredness. Jesus' message is clear. Love one another. Deny yourself. And that sounds like a bummer, but it's about balancing your thought life and your motives, right? Jesus is just going to go there. And I mean, this was 2,000 years ago, right? There was no smartphones. He nailed it out of the park. We're the most narcissistic generation in American history. And when I say generation, I'm not pointing a finger at millennials or Gen Xers or baby boomers. The generation that I speak of is defined by people using social media to incessantly share information about themselves. Constantly, I too am part of the selfie generation. And you don't really think about selfie and what it means. And if you don't know what that means, then you're not a part of that generation, by the way. But we know selfie had become this big, huge, international situation. It's on the map. As Oxford Dictionary named it as 2013, 14, and 15's Word of the Year. Narcissistic. What can you mean by that? It's a new craze with funeral selfies. And that's a clue right there. People snapping self-portraits in front of a body at a wake or to share in social media. And maybe for some that's a form of grieving for them. But for others, it's clearly about just drawing attention to themselves and even away from the recently, most importantly, the deceased. This is what's happening. And selfies are but the tip of the iceberg for a generation that can become self-centered. And we've already seen how Twitter has allowed so many and so many put their thoughts on there, even insane stuff, and it's a shared delusion. Everything we say is so interesting, it's so compelling, and it's so funny, and it must be immediately offered to the world. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, Facebook, social media. It's a great way to share every single mundane thing in your life. I'm eating potato chips. I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Now there's also the latest, my friends, photobombing, where people sneak into the background of a photo taken of someone else, right? Lots of photobombing going on. And not long ago, actor Zach Braff, allegedly, he photobombed a couple taking wedding photos, and it was in the crosswalk of a huge downtown traffic area. It looks like New York City, and this thing went crazy viral. And anyway, he posted this thing, and of course, when he did, everyone went nuts. And I say allegedly because, are you ready for this? There is now a photobomb app, plenty of them, that enables you to put yourself in the picture. Okay, we have some people that work in town that love to put that up. They put themselves in the most precarious positions. So you can actually photobomb by putting something from an app on another picture. And some of these pictures can truly be funny. It really can. And there's no denying that many photobomb because they want to upstage, you know, what the intended subjects have got going on. They just want to upstage it. Another example of our desperate, never-ending need for attention. But to be clear, I'm in no way judging others. In my selfie generation, I'm in it. Although funeral selfies are not okay, or just, you know, the motive isn't right there. Sharing our thoughts and experiences on social media, my friends, it's now a part of our DNA. And in this town, and even in our own discussion page here, it is unbelievable how fast and how far, how quickly things can spiral. Up or down? A reflex action without a second thought. Now, John 13:35. By this will everyone know that you're my disciples if you tweet repeatedly. If you let them know every minute of your life. Socially. What's it say? How does it look? Most of us are aware of our collective self-centeredness. Jesus is reminding us here, man, you need, this is an action. Compassion is an action. In fact, when I was contemplating putting this sermon together, I contemplated calling it, Are We the Most Self-Absorbed Generation? And the response is overwhelmingly, what? You better believe it. But I did hear this defense often. And this is why I stopped, because titles say a lot, especially out there on the marquee. Katie's got to try to figure out how to put all those things out on the sign out there. And I feel for her having to put my long titles out there. So I backed off. Here it is, okay? If the generations before us had access to the same technology that we do, they would have acted the same way. It's hard to argue with that. Neil Armstrong. Why wouldn't he have taken a selfie after he stepped on the moon with the earth behind him? Oh my gosh, the coolest selfie of all time. By the way, it's interesting to note that with this, discovered this week, there are no usable pictures of Neil Armstrong on the moon, but all of his pictures are of Buzz Aldrin on the moon. And if you look in Buzz's reflector shield, there's Neil taking the photo, or his leg over here. But there's no usable photos of him. It's pretty interesting. Two different personalities. Dr. Rendezvous, Mr. Buzz Aldrin, just out there personality, and very reserved, very quiet Neil Armstrong. Very interesting to know. Two different personalities. Are you saying that no one would have photobombed at Woodstock? Or the anti-Vietnam War rallies, or that Elvis wouldn't have treated photos and gone crazy with his new sequin-studded jumpsuit that would have gone viral this morning. My friends were just in that generation. They would have done the same thing. This is who we are. There's no chance of going back. In fact, future technological advancements are going nuts and making it even easier for us to share information about ourselves. We can't even imagine now. This week I saw some stuff that's coming down the pike. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. The legacy of our selfie generation must be more than just photobombing a friend's picture or gloating when one of our tweets is just read to infinity and beyond. I'm letting you know something. When you tweet scripture, when you put scripture on social media, take just a moment and leave it there for a while and look and see who notices that, who actually likes that, who actually responds to that. It's interesting, isn't it, when scripture is up for grabs socially. You ever notice that? I notice that. I'm a pastor, but I notice that. Jesus was indignant. Verse 41, he reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing. Be clean. This is a man with leprosy. Begged him on his knees. What will you do with the story in Mark chapter 1? What will you do with that? Are you willing to break free of the fear? What will you do with someone that you know is diseased? How will you handle it? What will you do with someone who you know is sick or in desperate need of our care? And there are some people in our town right now. In fact, one of our greeters is not here this morning because she is caring for someone who she knows is not well physically. And then, of course, with all the things that have happened this week emotionally. What about your care? What about for those who are emotionally sick? Inside, their hearts and minds are going nuts. Maybe there's even shame and guilt, and it's just on overload this week. Do you have patience? Do you have kindness to show them? The Master is pointing us in a direction this morning. Our generation has an opportunity with these social media platforms to literally raise awareness. Amen? You can. About real issues. We personally know these things in our heart. They need to be addressed. We don't bring them up on social media. It can be as simple as taking a selfie. My friends, this happened to me yesterday as you walk under the bridge, walking to the Pike in Long Beach. What do you do with that? Just recently, a group of seniors had an opportunity to take a trip to a soup kitchen over town and to serve. And another group went to a women's shelter as well. How about putting that stuff on social media? How about inspiring someone to also come out and volunteer by photobombing yourself in that picture? Or possibly 16 million children in the United States who live below the poverty line. And how about we tweet a photo of our U.S. military veterans that raise awareness about the 22 veterans who commit suicide every day? Or wounded veterans who still need our support? The list of issues concerning domestic violence, the bloodshed in the Middle East, my friends, it goes on and on and on. I have a good friend that I guarantee you, if he does put something on social media, when he does, if he does, I cannot wait to share it with somebody else. It's so encouraging. Good friend. And he was in the military, and his life is never more focused than it is now. It's changed our lives. And look at your notes this morning. Look at your notes. In the following ways, we maintain friendships on our terms since we can control what we want to and how we want to respond. Okay? It's about control, and it happens so quickly. Look at number two. We become addicted to immediate gratification and reaffirmation. Dopamine receptors are aligned to enjoy this crazy, crazy immediate response. Listen to the words there. Okay? Things are going nuts. And this one here, we are rewarded for focusing on ourselves. There's rewards there. We fear unfiltered communication. When I put that down this week, I thought to myself, that's a key word. A quote by a younger generation. Very young, okay? 11. said to me this week, I don't like talking to people, but he's got the fastest thumbs I've ever seen in my life. I want to pre-type my words before I have a face-to-face meeting. I want to soften the situation a little bit. Social media creates growing dissatisfaction because we only see people's ESPN highlight reel and projection of perfection and compare this to our own daily grind. And so the competition goes back and forth. And so we start getting bitter. We can't exactly keep up with Joneses next door. And so there's a little envy there. There's a little envy. And it's changing our relationship with each other because we care less about people. And the University of Michigan put out this week, it was a very interesting thing that I read. We are less empathetic. 40% reduction in the way that we care for others. And they're talking about their campus. We care less about each other. That's a pretty fascinating thing to read. I don't know how they got that statistic on campus. Why is there such a reduction of empathy? Why in the world is there a consequence with something that can seem so fun? We're more obsessed since 80% of our interaction involves us. It's about us. We love ourselves more and more. Per the book of Revelations, by the way, this is a marker of the end of time when we arrive at a station where we only love ourselves. Something to pay close attention to. Overwhelming exposure to suffering and chaos. It desensitizes us over time. Every text or feed gets the same real estate on your phone. You're giving it the same measure. The big struggle to differentiate between something of greater value. We're not able to determine what's most important. Self-centered views come from social media. They'll determine it for you. A lack of personal interaction eventually wears you down. And it's easier for us not to care. And if you're meeting with someone over a cup of coffee, you're down at the brew house, you're relaxed, you're knee to knee, you're eye to eye, and you express your care and concern in a completely different level. My friends, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that, okay? And if that's not your spot, my point is, okay, and if it's the cookie company, that's fine too. My point is, knee to knee, eye to eye, there ain't nothing like it. You can't change it. I mean, FaceTime's pretty good, but even that, there's nothing like being right there. There's nothing like listening to actually see and hear and feel. God set you up for this. What is true compassion? Splanizomai. You're supposed to say, excuse me, bless you. Yeah. Splanizomai, the Greek word. True compassion here. True compassion. The inward parts. Now, if I didn't pronounce this right, I now have a YouTube for you, and all of us for 13 seconds, three different times, will get to repeat splenizomai, all right? This is to feel, this is the Greek word for feeling it. Ready? Let's play it, and all of us repeat.
Splenizomai.
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 One more time.
Splenizomai.
Bless you. Good. That's in your notes. The feeling of deep sympathy down in the depths of our bowels. The Greek word for compassion. And it's so deep that you have to act. To ache. And to be moved by action. Not thumb service. Type it away. But I've got to do something. I had a friend that sent me a very short email, but like, why is this world turning upside down this week? Try answering that one through email. True compassion demands action. It's a great word. To not act is to not care. Not acting equals no compassion. The Bible always follows compassion with action. Mark 1, verse 40 and 41, Jesus moved to compassion by a touch. Matthew 14, 14, Jesus does not say, I need some time here. No, he has compassion with action. Matthew 20, verse 34, it just goes on and on and on. The more I'm obsessed about social media, the more I care about me, and the less I care about other people. And the more I'm obsessed with Jesus, the less I care about me, and the more I care about other people. Is there anybody awake this morning? And I'm about to freak you out for those of you who are in the entertainment industry or have worked with young people or both, and or you keep up with the entertainment industry. But about 5 months ago, my son shared with me that this particular artist named Justin Bieber had something happen to him that was serious life change. I was like, whatever. I've seen enough video. Oh, my gosh. Self-centered. You know, I was just right there, Judge Snitty, and I went nuts. And I was like, okay, thanks. Keep it to yourself. You know, whatever. But I work with a lot of young people, and I see them, I hear them. And then I discovered a pastor's video talking about a certain sermon that he was preaching. And when this particular guy named Justin Bieber showed up, this sermon and this subject went to his heart and broke through when he was in the middle of these exact things that were going on in his world, all self-centered, all selfie-centered. Talk about a generation leader in it. And it broke through. And I had to play it. I'm like, what kind of pastor can get through to Justin Bieber? And even if you don't know who he is, is literally one of the largest spokesmen and spokespeople that you'd see on the front lines of entertainment for a whole generation that is following him and listening to him, learning from him. And that's scary when you have a captive audience like that and you don't know Jesus. Something happened. And I actually stumbled on a very cool series of videos. I had to shut most of them down because I don't have time this morning, but I kept one for you this morning. And believe it or not, this is this guy talking about his faith in Jesus, what it means. No script. And I play this for you because this morning I would like for you to focus on what happens when you're obsessed with something other than yourself.
I just didn't know what the heck was going on. And so I really took a deep dive in my faith, to be honest. I just went deep into, like, I believed in Jesus, but I never really, like, you know, when it says following Jesus is actually turning away from sin. Mm. And so there's no, what it talks about in the Bible, it's like there's no obedience. There's no faith without obedience. So it's like I had faith about, like, oh, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, but I never really implemented it into my life. I never, like, was like, I'm going to be obedient.
So when did you decide to actually move within the guidelines, and how did you find yourself away from, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to drink or do drugs or sleep around or what, all these other distractions? Right. How did you get out of that world? What was the turning point for you?
I think it was my perception of who Jesus really was, you know? I'd had really bad examples of Christians in my life who would say one thing and do another. So they were my direct example of who Jesus was.
That's why you didn't take it seriously.
I didn't take it as seriously because I didn't have good examples.
Good role models.
Yeah. The way I look at my relationship with God and with Jesus is I'm not trying to earn God's love by doing good things. God has already loved me for who I am before I did anything to earn and deserve it. It's a free gift by accepting Jesus and just giving your life to him. And what he did is the gift. The forgiveness is the thing that we look at and, you know, I'm going to worship you, God, because you gave me something so good.
Do you think that if you hadn't redefined what Jesus was and reclaimed it into something that was worthy of practice for you, which then led you on a path of reconciliation with your wife, do you think the person that the you of then was on a path of self-destruction? Do you feel that you were on a you were self-destructing?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would have, for sure, 100%. Yeah. I don't know if I'd be alive, for sure. It was dark, really dark. So I'm very, very grateful to have influences in my life that have played a huge part in me seeing their relationship with Jesus and their relationship with their wives and their relationship with their kids and saying, that's what I want. Mm. And striving after that. So Jesus wasn't this religious elite guy that, you know, came to, but he was in the dirt, and he found me in my dirt and pulled me out. Like I said before, I'm a Jesus follower, and I just want to be led by, when you accept Jesus, he says that now you walk with the Holy Spirit. So I think I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're not really good at the end of the day. At the core, I don't believe that humans are good. And people might, you know, twist this and make me seem like I'm saying humanity's not good.
Tell you the truth.
I just feel like at the core, I fight every day temptation and things that, you know, are instinctive to do, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, lie, be greedy, all these things that just naturally come. Those naturally come. I got to fight to not be that. So maybe humanity's, you know, it's come to a place of being really, you know, it's broken. I mean, it's just look around. I mean, the pain in this world, it's just so, it's like, it's obvious. And people are looking for hope, and they're looking for a way out, and they're looking for an escape, and they're looking for, they're looking for truth, and they're looking for, and I'm just, I've gotten the opportunity with my journey to just see a God who's accepts me, loves me. They call him the Savior, and I believe that to be true, that Jesus saved me. I just didn't know what the heck.
You're clapping for Jesus. As far as working with young people is concerned, we just gained a wonderful witness to the love of Jesus to go after the hearts of those living very dark lives. And the world is after them, and so is Jesus. And I love what I heard there, because it wasn't about Justin, it was about Jesus. And that's the first. And I hope there's a lot more. But did you hear anything in his voice in regards to compassion? I heard the words grateful. I heard the words, he's about me. I heard the words, I was in the dirt. He was in the dirt, pulled me out of the dirt. Do you understand what happens when Jesus starts doing something inside you? You start changing. Look at these things that just say elements of compassionate people. These places where you fill your heart with this. It interrupts. A good example of that is Mark 6. Jesus were exhausted, and his disciples, they were hungry. Luke 8, Mark 2, the good news. You get a chance to show compassion before you leave church today. Doesn't mean you have to shake someone's hand. Doesn't mean that you have to do that. Understand that we're being cautious. But you can smile. You can say hello. You don't just come and go. I understand what's happening right now, but how about stopping your golf cart to assist someone? Whatever happened to the Catalina wave? Dave was telling me about it the other day, where you just wave to everybody. I don't care if they're from here or not. Do you have drive-by compassion? Like a post, okay? Liking a post is not a message of compassion, so to speak. It's different. There's a difference between liking a message of compassion and liking a post. Compassion costs. How about the story in the news this week of the broken woman at Walmart and the purpose of someone paying for her groceries? She had just been released from prison, and someone took her in there and shopped for her. Not all aspects result in, you know, resolving a problem, but they help someone along the way. Jesus resolves the problem. Jesus and the Holy Spirit moves inside someone. Amen? Often an act of compassion is literally providing a God-honoring, you know, complication. You're there, you're helping them. Clicking a mouse is clean and easy. Compassion's not. You can serve God in a beautiful and complicated way. Involving yourself in life. And I mean, there are some risks that may have to take here. Big risks that you have to take. It could be your how people feel about you. Okay? It could be what people say about you. There's a lot at risk there. Your reputation could matter. It could be on the line. But what does Jesus want you to do? What does it look like? His whole career is on the line right now. All of his sponsors are on the line right now. How about you? When it comes to compassion changing lives, you're in the chair. You're holding the cup of coffee. So I get to ask you, as I am for the media this morning, how about you? Have you invited anyone to church before? Have you? How about recently? Is your story of, you know, quote unquote Joe or somebody that was invited to church by you from this brew house coffee moment or this knee-to-knee thing, and now 25 people have been invited to church because of the one conversation you had with this one. I'm just saying, I'm looking at this. God has already loved me for who I am. Justin said it. I thought I'd never see myself quote Justin Bieber on Sunday morning. God has loved me for who I am. I can't keep it quiet. There's a gentleman that's been coming to our Wild Men recently, and not recently, but over this last year, and I'm so thankful. He cannot sit there alone. Guy after guy is cruising through the building right now because they've been invited by someone who just can't keep it alone. God has loved me for who I am, and I want somebody else to have that. That's my motive. I want to invite someone. John, if you can come up this morning, if I can have everybody stand this morning, we end with this. These are my closing thoughts. I've already forgotten the Greek word. It's too hard to pronounce anyway. But to feel compassion in your bowels, deep, way deep, where you ache. Because an action is needed. You feel compassion in the form of action. Not a mouse click or liking a Facebook post. That's nice. Compassion has the power to transform. My friends, with what is happening in our community right now, and so many folks that some of which are in hiding, they're so scared right now. Compassion in the form of action, praying peace over someone, telling them that you want to bless them today with a prayer. Just send them the information. Send them a letter. Knock on their door, whatever it looks like, to help them. People are searching for answers right now. There's no better time than to offer Jesus to someone than right now. Amen? No better time. Although this sermon is a masterful effort put on today, I can't reach application. I can't. Nope. I can't do it. Can't do it for you. You have to connect. You have to come to reason. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to be smart. Okay? We have some important things that we do need to do to be smart, but not scared. Smart, educated, smart, but not fearful. Tracking with me? Okay? God's not given us a spirit of fear. And if we're on his mission, we're doing something in his name, I believe he's going to protect us, don't you? As a pastor, I find myself in a lot of places. As a teacher or an administrator in school, you find yourself in a lot of situations. You're still teaching. You're still here. And I'm still alive. I've been around a lot of things. I'm smart. I take care of things. I wash my hands. But I'm not fearful. You have to connect so that you're able to express your compassion this morning. Let's pray. God, we're on our knees again. God, we're begging, please, again. We need you. Oh, we need you. Walking down this desert road, water through my thirsty soul, I need you. I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. I've been a dead man walking. I've been a slave to sin. As Justin said this morning, I want to know about being born again. I need you, God. I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under and baptize. I need you, God. I need you. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. So may we go viral with the good news of your amazing grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.